I got it on. I just don't know how to handle it. I think I need bigger ears. What tremendous music this morning. Amen. And we should be excited about the fact that you have such a good praise team. I've been in a lot of churches on the district, and you're blessed. Let me tell you, you are really blessed with the leadership you have in that area, the talent, and God has provided. Amen. He always does. He really does. Even in those churches where they don't have this blessing, God's music, God's word is still received and still powerful. Aren't we glad for that? This morning we want to look at a familiar passage of Scripture. You know it well. It's not something that's unknown to you, and I would think maybe even what I say today will not be brand new to you either. As a matter of fact, they tell me that there really isn't anything new under the sun. It's always just reverberated in different ways, and that's what I really do. That's what pastors really do. They just take the word and let the inspiration of the word fill their spirit and then share that word that they understand with the congregation that's present on that given Sunday. And if I keep playing with this, I'm sorry, but this thing in my ear do not have a meeting. I don't know. In John chapter 3, there's a familiar passage of Scripture there. John 3:16, of course, is one of the most well-known verses in all the world. And we're going to use that verse, but we're not going to start there. We're going to start with verse 1. So would you look in your Bibles at John chapter 1? It probably will be on the screen for you this morning. If you did not bring your Bibles, or you didn't bring your iPhone or iPad or Android. That's what we do anymore in this day and age. You know, I still have not progressed to that. I have not progressed to the place where I put everything on an iPad. And the reason why, I'll be honest with you, I'm afraid I would forget how to operate it. And then I would lose my notes, and I would be a mess. I would be a mess. But I've seen pastors that do that, and I'm just not there yet. John chapter 3. Would you stand, please, for the reading of God's word? I know you haven't been sitting very long, but this will give you some extra exercise this morning. John 3, chapter 3, verse 1. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." And Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The winds blow wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? no one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your presence, and we know you're here, and we're glad. Believe me, we're glad today that you are in charge of everything that happens in this place, and in really in this world. And so, Father, we commend this message to you. We ask you to touch this servant, that your words would be spoken and received with gladness and joy. Touch everyone in this sanctuary this morning. May your Holy Spirit move among us, within us, through us. And may we be open and receptive to that movement today. And we'll give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, now turn to someone next to you and smile at them and say, I'm so glad you came before you sit down. Didn't that feel good? I thought it would. It was an impressive resume. He was a Pharisee, one of the intellectual guardians of the law, a member of the Sanhedrin, the esteemed ruling council of the day, Israel's teacher, the authority, the one whose opinion could sway the vote, the one whose words were most quoted. Most impressive indeed. Nicodemus is at the top of the religious ladder looking down. But the view from the top is at best disappointing. And now he steps down from that ladder to walk the streets, searching, looking for something. He comes at night in darkness, as if in secret. Nicodemus winds his way through the streets of Jerusalem, slowly, cautiously, every so often stepping into the shadows to avoid recognition. He comes as a seeker of truth, but he comes at night. He comes not in an official capacity, but in a personal one. It is a chancy meeting. Gossip could hurt him. He has much to lose. His prestige as Israel's teacher, his position on the ruling council, his entire peer group. But still, he comes. Not for curiosity's sake, but for conscience sake. Night after night, he had wrestled with the question, could this be the Messiah that we've heard about, that we've planned for, that we have looked for? And night after sleepless night, it backs him to a corner, pressing him for an answer. So he comes at night. Yes, at night, but he comes. And Jesus gives him the mystery of the second birth. And it was mystery. So the mystery of the second birth, to Nicodemus, it just could not be. He couldn't put it all together in his mind and in his thinking how Jesus' words were impacting his life. He thought, born again? How can someone be born when they are old? It was a mystery to him. Of course, he was confusing physical birth with what our Lord was speaking of, a spiritual birth. Hence, that's why he asked the question. So our Lord, who always wants us to understand the truth, helped Nicodemus with these words. He said, "The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." Now, in this particular passage, Jesus was simply saying that there are many experiences of life that we may not intellectually be able to understand in full, but we can experience the consequences or the results of the experienced. For example, take electricity. I can turn on a light by flipping a switch. And when I do, the room floods with light. And I receive a benefit from that. In this manner, it would be presumptuous to say, here is everything there is to know about the new birth. And I could say that that's everything there is to know about electricity. But that would not be correct. And neither would it be correct to say that this is everything I need to know about the new birth. The depth and ramifications go far beyond any human comprehension. But one thing I know, being born again has heavenly benefits. It is marvelous to me to know that Jesus is my Savior and Lord personally. I was doing a funeral yesterday. And it doesn't happen to me that way very often. I didn't know this person, and that happens quite often. But during that time, there was a gentleman that came forward to speak and shared about the deceased. I knew what God had said to me to do. I'd already written the message. I'd already planned what I would say, even though I didn't know that person. But when that man got up and shared what he knew about her, it was just like the Lord he had opened the windows of heaven for me. Now that's strange, I know, in a funeral. But folks, I want to tell you, when you see it every single day with people who have no hope beyond the grave, and you find someone who delivers hope beyond the grave, it makes a world of difference as to how you see the next day and the next day. And it hit me in such a way, the Spirit got a hold of me, and I thought, I am just so thrilled that I know where this woman is going to be. Now, the family should take comfort in that. I think they did. But so many times, folks, that's not the way it is. It's just not the way it is. So when Nicodemus comes, he's searching for something. He wants something more concrete. He wants something to hold on to. He wants something to grab, something that means something to him, something that has value, something that will carry him on from the place he now stands to the place beyond. And religion's not going to do it. And the council's not going to get him there. And his teaching certificate's not going to get him there. None of that's going to happen. The only way he's going to get from this question that he has in his mind and heart is to meet someone who can change his destination. And the only one who could do that is Jesus Christ. So even though it was a mystery to him, he comes to the place where he learns the means of the second birth or the new birth. And Nicodemus, even then, could still not understand it. So Jesus, the way Jesus is, he gives you one more thing to think about and apply to this mystery. He says to Nicodemus, just as Moses was lifted up, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Now, you and I, if we were the first time to hear that and didn't know anything about it, it would mean absolutely nothing to us. Right? But to Nicodemus, he knew this story. He knew all about this particular event in the Hebrew children, the Israelites. He knew what happened in the wilderness. He knew about the snakes. The statement of Jesus might not communicate to us, but it would have been powerful to Nicodemus. As a religious leader, he knew the Old Testament well. So Nicodemus knew this event. The Israelites were out in the desert, had been moaning and complaining until the patience of God had come to an end. So the Lord sent upon them, as the Bible describes it, venomous snakes. This is at Numbers chapter 21. Venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. These snakes invaded the camp of Israel. At first, the bites would cause little pain, but then the pain became intense and suffering greatly and painful death. In Numbers 21, it says that the people came to Moses and said, "We sinned, we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and God answered that prayer. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it up on a pole, and anyone who is bitten can look at it and be saved." You already got it, don't you? He said, "Anyone who looks at it will live." Those who looked lived, and those who did not look died. Now, in the light of that event, Jesus was saying to Nicodemus that to be truly born again, you must look at the one who is lifted up on a cross. Why do you think Jesus came? Why do you think he lived that perfect life? Why do you think he died on the cross and was resurrected? The answer is very clear, that he might be the Savior, for there is no other name under heaven given among people whereby we can be saved except Jesus Christ. And they that look to him today will live. I'm going to close with this illustration, and it's a really good illustration. I hope that you get the message of it. It was a bitter cold January day. The wind was whipping off the North Sea, sweeping over the county of Essex, swirling snow down the streets of Colchester, a small town 60 miles northeast of London, England. It was 1850. The second Sunday morning of January, and trudging down the street was 15-year-old Charles. What was a young man doing out on a day like this? He was walking to church. Actually, Charles had been going to every preacher who would explain to him how to be born again. The Spirit of God had plowed deep furrows of conviction through his heart, and he was in misery. As Charles trudged down the street trying to keep warm, he passed a dead-end alley called Artillery Street. He remembered that his mother had said there was a little primitive Methodist chapel down Artillery Street. He thought, well, I still have a long way to go to where I intend to worship, and it is so cold, I think I will turn into that primitive Methodist church. When he entered the building, only 14 other worshipers had gathered. Charles took a seat about two-thirds of the way back from the front on the preacher's right hand, just a little bit under the balcony. The pastor did not arrive that morning, so an old, rather illiterate man attempted to preach. He could not pronounce his words correctly, but he did his best. Actually, all he knew was to take his text, make some comments, repeat his text again, make some more comments, repeat the same comments, repeat his text, and keep reading the text again, and around he went. His text was from the book of Isaiah, which said, "Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved." And so the old illiterate preacher droned on, "Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved." You don't have to be rich or educated to look. Anyone can look. "Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be saved." You don't even have to raise a finger, let alone a foot. Just look. Anybody can look. "Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved." All you have to do is look. "Look unto me." He went on and on in this fashion. Went on that for about 10 minutes into his sermon. He spotted Charles. He did what a preacher probably ought not to do. He stopped and looked at Charles and pointed his finger at him and said, "Young man, you look terribly miserable." You know, it takes me back to my early experiences in the church, when I would see people stand up and come down an aisle and take the hand of a person, speak to them, and gently lead them to the altar. I've seen the opposite too, and that doesn't work. But my friends, here's an old man who's doing his best to preach the gospel, to share his concern for someone, and he sees this young man in the crowd of 14 people and points him out. Why? Because I believe the Spirit told him to. And so he went to him and said, Charles said to him, he said, "I was so miserable." And the old preacher went on, he said, "Yes, and you'll be miserable in life, and you'll be miserable in death, unless you obey my text. Young man, look to Jesus." Then he screamed out, "Look, look, look!" And Charles Haddon Spurgeon, probably the greatest London preacher who ever lived, said, "I could have looked my eyes away, but I looked and I lived." You have been bitten by the serpent of sin. You are sick unto death. But there is one who has been lifted up, the Lord Jesus Christ. I am going to ask you right now to look to Jesus. and be saved. He will heal you and you can be born again. Will you pray and trust Christ? The prayer of repentance and faith saves. Jesus Christ will invade your life, take control, and you will be a new person here and now. And you won't have the questions about where you're going to be tomorrow. You can have the answer today. Dr. James Dobson says there's three things that really matter in this life. The people you love, the people who love you, and where you're going to spend eternity. If Jesus were to come back today, where would you be? Have you looked? Have you discovered him? Has he changed your life? Has he made a difference? And oh, he can make a difference. Let me tell you, he can make a difference. Just being present is a difference. Just having him with you is a total difference, Tim. Just knowing that he walks with you and talks with you is the greatest thing. And when he stands up here with you, it's even greater. I don't know where you are today. I don't know what you're going through. But I want to tell you there's someone who can change all that. He can heal you personally. He can heal this land. He can heal this world. All we have to do, folks, is just look at him. He's already paid the price. He's already giving his all. And I was there with him even before I ever knew him. I want us to bow our heads for just a moment. Maybe you're here today and you haven't looked, but you need to. I want you to look today. If God's speaking to your heart, if you feel that tug on your conscience this morning, I want you to come and kneel right here at this altar. No one's going to embarrass you. No one's going to put you on the spot. No one's going to judge you. If you need to do that, we're asking you to come. The praise team is going to sing a song for us. And as they sing this song, we invite you to come and do whatever God wants you to do this morning. If you need to be saved, then come. If you need to have the confidence and reassurance from Christ, then come. If you need to look unto him and say, Lord, I need your special help today, then come. The altar is not just a place for salvation. The altar is a place for communication and reconnecting. So, Father, this morning, would you help us today? Would you help us today? We preach this message. We know that it's true, that Nicodemus was looking and searching. Some of us are looking and searching, and all we have to do is look and live. Lord, if you're speaking to hearts this morning, would you speak to them clearly? Help them to know exactly what they should do today. We have one that's come. Somebody else is here this morning that needs to join this one. And maybe if you're a Christian, you would like to pray with this one individual. You need to come and do that. Would you do that? Maybe there's somebody else. The altar is open. Whatever your need may be today. This is what church is all about. It's not methods and programs. It's not going out and having fun. It's getting down to business with the Spirit and having a changed life and having a future. Amen? So if you're here this morning and you need to pray, I invite you to come. The altar's open. just for a few more minutes, and then we're going to move on to the song. We're going to have them sing, and if you still feel like you need to come and pray, would you please do that as they sing this song? Go ahead, Tim.